22 public school districts throughout Wisconsin were presented with a little over $500,000 in dollars in grant money to help expand school fabrication labs that beef up STEM programs. That's education in science, technology, engineering, and math. The districts are creating or expanding fab labs, and we're going to get to know how these labs work on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here's Governor Walker on the vision behind the Fab Labs.
They have the head of a plan. It wasn't just a concept, a plan to show that they're ready, that they could act on this quickly. Secondly, they had to have a curriculum. They can't just have a lab and not know what to do with it, because that kind of defeats the purpose. And the third part was they had to show in this application that they had strong partnerships with employers in the region.
Tricia Brown is with us, Deputy Secretary and Chief Operating Officer of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. That is the agency that's been handing out these grant dollars. Tricia, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
Well, first of all, walk us through a fabrication lab. What are we looking at here? Give us a sense of what these are.
So I think, you know, for most of us who maybe went to high school in the 1990s and earlier, you were familiar with your tech lab. And this is, you know, I guess the modern-day version of that, with high-tech equipment, computer-controlled manufacturing components like 3D printers, laser engravers, computer, like CNC machines, routers, plasma cutters. So things that are used in kind of the high-tech, advanced manufacturing and development processes of, you know, the modern companies.
Yeah, how is this like the shop class of a different era?
It's because the Fab Lab has a full curriculum around it, and it's really taking and applying the tools that students will need as they, depending on what they want to do. If they want to go into design or engineering or some other technology field, or you know, just having the problem solving, the creativity, some of the ingenuity, and that skills that it's, you know, you really don't learn through a normal classroom setting. So this is really more of that hands-on, you know, identify a problem, create a solution, build a prototype, figure out what's wrong with it, rebuild it, correct it, and then basically manufacture it. And so, you know, that's something that you take for granted, and the kids that are going into these 21st century jobs will have to have those skill sets.
So what is the goal behind having Fab Labs here in Wisconsin schools? And are we looking anywhere else as a model? Has this been rolled out elsewhere?
I think it's safe to say that Wisconsin is a leader in this. Yes, other states, and actually MIT has developed a curriculum. So there are Fab Labs across the country, but we have, I'd say, safely say, the highest concentration of Fab Labs over any other state. And it's important for Wisconsin for several reasons. For one, we are a manufacturing state, and as manufacturing evolves and becomes more reliant on technology and, you know, kind of on innovation and continuing to change and improve processes to make it more efficient to be competitive, the companies that are here are going to have to find talent with those skill sets that are aligned with those processes. So it's really not just setting ourselves up as a state for, you know, our future workforce, but the kids that are in this are also developing more of that outside-of-the-box thinking, the creativity, the you know, the ability to say, I think we can do this differently, and now with these Fab Labs, they have the equipment and the technology and the curriculum to help do that.
Okay, so these students are getting exposure earlier on in their high school years for some of these problems and opportunities that there are in manufacturing labs here in Wisconsin and elsewhere. So, you know, say, for instance, CAD design or computer-assisted design, there are certificate programs that you would go through. Are students getting a jump start on that? Are they able to even get those certificates in high school?
Potentially they can get started on that. And many of the schools and the Fab Labs have very close partnerships with their community or technical colleges in the area, leveraging some of the classes and teachers that are involved with that, and as well as other businesses that are in the community. And I want to make sure it's not just manufacturers. It could be graphic design shops, even, you know, places that might do, like, you know, T-shirts and sweatshirts and that type of a thing, or other like print shops, et cetera, things like that. So there's a multifaceted application and experience that some of these students can have by participating in a fab lab. And it's not necessarily just high school. Many of these labs have opened them up to middle school and even in some cases elementary school to start having students exposed to this at a younger age.
Well, with Foxconn coming online in the near future, how will these fab labs interconnect with the jobs needed at Foxconn?
Well, I think, you know, not just Foxconn, but really, you know, any company that has like an electrical manufacturing or some high-tech component to it, that these kids are getting exposed to, I would say, smaller scale, more simplified versions of the equipment that'll be used in these types of companies. You know, it can be even like medical device manufacturers or anything that uses robotics or is just, you know, creating components or parts, use higher grade, more sophisticated versions of the same equipment that some of these kids are learning to use in the schools.
Tricia Brown is with us. She is the Deputy Secretary and Chief Operating Officer for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We're learning about Fab Labs as about $500,000 in grants were handed out last week for 22 Fab Labs around the state. Gathering your questions and perspectives on Fab Labs at 800-642-1234. Are you a teacher at a school that was awarded a Fab Lab grant? Why did your school apply, and what are you going to do with the grant money? Do you think having Fab Labs in schools will improve the employment pool and help prevent brain drain in the state? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Tricia, in giving out about $500,000, what does that buy for these Fab Labs? Where does that money get these schools?
Absolutely. Well, and actually the $500,000, that was just this year. Over the course of the Fab Lab program, we've now, it's been 3 years in place, and we've awarded about $1.6 million to schools in every corner of Wisconsin. And so the funds itself are for equipment, and it requires a one-to-one match. Some of the schools are able to provide that through their traditional funding sources, and others have partnered with businesses or done fundraising to come up with a match. So the communities around the schools where these Fab Labs are in place have really supported them, and that is a key element to making them successful.
And equipment, that's tricky because this type of equipment can go out of date pretty quickly. There are upgrades, there are changes in how these pieces of equipment work. So how does the state go about keeping this equipment up to date?
So that's really on the schools, and they have to show their commitment, and part of the application that they provide to WEDC when submitting for the grant is to show that they have a sustainability plan in place, that they have the support of the school district to do that, to make sure that, you know, it's a piece of equipment is only as good as, you know, the instructor that's teaching it in the class and getting the whole program wrapped around it. And so that's part of what they have to show when they apply for the grant.
So as the governor went around the state, and so did your agency, what type of reception are you receiving? What is the feedback so far in this process?
Well, I will tell you this. If you haven't been in a Fab Lab or haven't identified a school and visited one, I highly encourage you to do so because it's truly inspiring. Seeing what, you know, these kids, and again, really at all levels, are able to create, it's impressive. And it's, like I said, it's inspiring. Some of the students then even take apprenticeships, so they, you know, kind of become familiar with the applications or the equipment through the Fab Lab, and then perhaps some of the companies that are supporting the effort have brought in and provided those kind of on-the-job learning opportunities to students. So it's, you can really see the impact that it's having. And, you know, in some of our smaller school districts across the state, for example, up in Minot, in their Fab Lab, they have kind of complementary, like a logging training, and they have the equipment so students can actually learn how to work in an industry that's very important to that area. And you'll see that across the state, that each of the labs kind of has its own unique character based on the community and the industry that's around it.
These fabrication lab grants are funded by about $1 million allocation in Governor Walker's biennial budget. About $500,000 in grants were handed out last week for 22 fab labs. We're understanding the aim of them here on the State Capitol Report. Tricia Brown stays with us. She's Deputy Secretary and Chief Operating Officer for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Gathering your questions, your perspectives on fab labs, 800-642-1234. Is your school getting a fab lab, or is there one in place? What is it like? What impact has it made? We'll get back to the conversation after a news update right here on the Ideas Network. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation awarded $500,000 in fabrication laboratory grants to 21 school districts throughout the state last week. We're learning about these so-called fab labs on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here is Governor Walker on the vision behind the fab labs.
That's what you live for when it comes to schools. You want to see not just kids getting a degree or getting a diploma, I should say, but being inspired.
These districts will eventually be able to collaborate through a web portal being developed by UW Stout. So there's a lot of coordination on this initiative. Tricia Brown stays with us as our guide. She's Chief Operating Officer of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. You can join in as well, 800-642-1234. Do you teach a class in a fab lab? What is your curriculum? What do the students get out of it? Should the state be putting its resources here? You can call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Jim joining us from Broadhead. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Great, great. I'm principal here at Broadhead High School, and we implemented a fab lab in at the beginning of this school year. And I can only echo some of the comments that were made earlier, just the tremendous impact that it's had on our students and the awareness of manufacturing. But the cool thing, I think, here, at least speaking on behalf of our fab lab, is to see math teachers, science teachers, and then also obviously tech ed teachers bringing their classes into the fab lab and see the incorporation of science and math.
You're seeing an incorporation of STEM in your fab lab.
Correct. It's just great. It's a great draw, not only for male students, but the number of female students that are attracted to those labs has been a great positive for our school district too. And obviously, bringing awareness of manufacturing, engineering, design, to the female side of things, has been a real positive too. And it has actually expanded into a partnership now that we are entering in with Black Hawk Technical College in Janesville, where we are going to be expanding our lab and offering coursework to the point where we will, within a year or two, have students that are actually going to be graduating from high school, but also getting a degree from Black Hawk Technical College in manufacturing, too. So that's been another huge positive that's come from the implementation of our fab lab as well.
Jim, one more question for you here at Broadhead High School. Is the curriculum of the fab lab blended into what the students are already learning in class? So therefore, they're not going to the fab lab as something they're achieving as or pursuing as an elective, but rather it is baked right into their coursework?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
We actually have curriculum that's designated just for the fab lab, but then also, for instance, in science, they may be doing a unit or a chapter or something like that. Same thing in math, that our teachers can apply some of the techniques and things that are going on in the fab lab. So they'll teach it in the classroom, and they'll bring them right into the fab lab and get the kids' hands-on approach to things. I know our geometry teachers really have taken to it just because of the geometry and things like that are going on in the fab lab as well.
Jim, thank you so much for calling in. Tricia, your thoughts on this?
No, he's absolutely right. And I think, the phrase has changed from STEAM to, or from STEM to STEAM, now adding that arts element in, because it really is a key component kind of to the overall program. I think many schools are, as Jim was saying, trying to get more and more of their teachers who wouldn't, you know, traditionally be seen in what would, you know, your tech lab or your fab lab, and finding that it's a great way to apply what they're learning in the classroom to some hands-on experience. So again, kind of showing that different side, that real world applicability.
Let's bring in Teresa now in Central Wisconsin. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Yeah, I'm an art teacher here, and I used to be an industrial design designer out of UW Stout. I work for two companies, and this is a direct STEAM issue. This is where you have the arts and creativity. You guys have been mentioning arts and design, but yet you've taken away most of the arts funding. And we already have, when you go to your schools, I see these, we went to some of these things, and they're building brand new buildings, brand new machines, bringing in brand new people, having people who aren't even qualified to teach these things in these STEM programs. And the other thing is, these brand new buildings, we already have them. We have art rooms. We have home ec rooms. We have tech ed rooms. We are already doing this, and you're repackaging it as something else that's more expensive. Teachers can already go to their tech ed teachers. Teachers and the art teachers should be teaching all this technology and manufacturing. We already are doing that, but it's being taken away and repackaging for manufacturing. STEAM is for the arts also, and plus that industrial design is an art degree from Stout. You have to be an artist to get that degree, and people are bypassing that. You're handing these STEM classes. Wotoma handed one off to an elementary art teacher to teach, a second-year elementary art teacher to teach a STEM class when they got rid of their tech ed teacher.
Teresa, let's pause right here. Let's bring Tricia into the conversation to address this. Tricia, go ahead.
Well, I guess there's always a competition for funding, so I think there's a lot of different perspectives. But what we hear and what we see is, you know, a lot of the companies and the communities are finding value in this. So, and I don't, you know, necessarily want to take an opposite perspective, but we are hearing that this equipment and the training and the curriculum that is being in place as part of the Fab Labs is a value to the community. So I guess that's the feedback that I've heard is more along the lines of support.
But are these Fab Labs stand alone? Are we creating silo here, as seems like what Teresa is inferring, that these are being built up from the ground up, separate from what's happening and has always been happening in the schools?
I guess the ones that I've seen, I've been in probably 10 or so across the state, and most of them have developed somewhat organically out of space that had existed before. It was shared space with another program. So there may be cases where it's gotten to the point where it's larger and it has had to move into, I think, for example, one of the Fab Labs was in a former gym. So the gymnasium was rebuilt and moved, and so they took over that space, but it wasn't built new for the lab. Mm. So I guess I'm not seeing that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but that's not what in the 10 or so that I've been in has been the case.
Teresa, thanks. Let's go to Todd now, joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Todd.
Good morning. Yeah, I was wondering, I tuned in a little bit late, and I don't know if there's been any focus on the program regarding actual teaching of welding and blueprint reading, understanding drawings, fabrication, in other words, actual fabrication, because I work as a business development director in a metal manufacturing facility, and we have a very difficult time finding people who can do basic math, for one, and who can understand how a blueprint, to the point where you could actually take that print and know what materials to use, know what size weld you're going to use and where the welds go, and how to actually fabricate the part so that it's not put together backwards and upside down and gets rejected by the customer or the quality control inspector in our facility. And I'm wondering also whether or not the schools or the REDIC is working with school guidance counselors in helping them to direct kids more into those fields, because they're very good paying jobs. A lot of these kids don't belong in college, and they don't, you know, they're not interested in college, but they're going and they're coming out with useless degrees, and then can't find work. You know, and you can find very good high paying work with, you know, a year or two of technical school, and finding it in a fab, an actual fabrication facility or a machine shop.
Let Tricia tackle those questions. Go ahead, Tricia.
Absolutely. And I think you've got Randy Helsey from Stout coming on the show a little bit later. And so he would be one to really kind of hone in on some of the curriculum conversation. But in terms of the welding experience, design, reading, yes, those elements. And again, each of the fab labs is a little bit different. But in some cases, for example, in Cardinal Manufacturing, that's the Ella Strum Fabrication Lab, they actually have the students from do the whole kind of the whole business model, from reading the design, understanding what materials are going to be needed, pricing them out, and then going actually into the fabrication of whatever component or part it might be. In Altoona, I was there as part of the awards this last week. When you talk about welding, they actually have a piece of equipment that's a virtual welding tool, so that students are learning the elements of being able to weld without, you know, the actual having the flame, so to speak. So getting that experience and exposure to that, too. But again, I would defer a little bit to Randy on some of the curriculum aspects.
Yeah, we'll go into that in just a moment here. But as we wrap up, Tricia, do these grant recipient schools have to meet certain benchmarks or criteria to keep the grant money, or is this no strings attached?
No, there's absolutely, with the grant money, it obviously goes towards equipment purchases. So the obvious thing is they have to show evidence that the equipment is purchased. But as part of the plan and the grant submittal, they have to show that within a certain number of years, that this will be opened up and the community will be able to use it too, because it really is not just an investment in the school and the students, but the community, and having, you know, someone just come in and use some of the equipment. Like, it could be a 3D model that an inventor or someone, an entrepreneur, is working on, that they'd be able to take advantage of that, of having that facility in their area.
Well, Tricia, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
Tricia Brown is Deputy Secretary and Chief Operating Officer of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Continuing our conversation about Fab Labs on the State Capitol Report, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation has awarded $63,000 to UW-Stout to develop a web portal for schools with Fab Labs. And here is a technology instructor at Brookfield Central High School, Tom Jurin, discussing how he thinks the school's Fab Lab will benefit students.
It gives our kids an advantage in that competitive nature and competitive environment. It allows them to get started early in their career and focus on those 40 years after college.
The aim is to allow school districts with Fab Labs to communicate with each other as well on curriculum, on equipment usage, troubleshooting, and training. Let's bring in Ryan Hulke now. He's Executive Director of the Discovery Center at UW-Stout. Ryan, welcome to the program. Or, I'm sorry, Randy.
Thanks.
Hey, Randy, sorry about that.
No, that's no problem.
Can you tell us a bit about the Discovery Center Fab Lab at UW-Stout? Explain what you do there.
Okay, so we've had our Fab Lab on campus since 2013, but we've actually been involved with the Fab Lab community since 2005. And I'm not sure what folks know about Fab Labs in general, but the origins are really at MIT. And the idea behind Fab Labs was that with five core technologies, you should be able to create just about anything you can imagine. So the list of equipment that comprises the Fab Lab is a laser engraver, vinyl cutter, a CNC router, a mini mill, and then there's also the 3D printer. Additionally, many of the Fab Labs have incorporated manual fabrication that may have already existed in their lab, things like mills and presses and all sorts of things that may have been in traditional shop classes. And we've done the same thing here at Stout. So we've got manual fabrication and digital fabrication kind of merged in our space.
So you have all this brand new technology at these schools. Where do you dive in? Where do you begin?
That's a great question. So what we've kind of done is stepped back from trying to build the notion that you have to build curriculum around the piece of equipment. But what we've tried to do is determine what it is that you're trying to achieve for learning outcomes, and then use the equipment sort of as a tool to deliver that curriculum. So if you think about maybe you're trying to find out how to problem solve in an area where you have a challenge that's presented either by a teacher or by a local industry, and you would go about trying to solve that by picking out the optimal technology that you were actually going to do it. So it might be a time constraint that would limit you from maybe using a 3D printer, or it may be an issue where you're trying to go through an iterative design process, so you're probably going to need to use something that's relatively quick that uses really cheap material, and then you would probably migrate towards the laser engraver. It's really kind of an experimental space, I should say.
And so UW Stout is also trying to get schools and teachers talking how this equipment in these Fab Labs is working and sharing with each other. How does that go?
Well, when we first got involved with talking with teachers around the state, we were really looking at trying to assess what best practices are around the state in these types of laboratories, in either a fabrication laboratory, a STEM lab, whatever it might be. So we went about trying to figure out what it is that was going to make these more successful. And really what it comes down to is there are many paths to try and optimize these spaces, because they are really built around local challenges. And so you're looking at local solutions, but at the same time, you've got a number of people that are out there, particularly instructors, that don't have a lot of time on their hands. So what we were really looking at is there a way to create a network, a cooperative of sorts, among these teachers that they would be able to drive content on a web portal that would be a communication platform, but it would also be a repository for curricular ideas and that sort of thing. So that's kind of the basis of the web portal that we have created over the past year or so. And honestly, it is being driven really by user content. That was one of the things that we wanted to make sure of when we built it, was that we weren't going to house it as a UW Stout site. Mm. We were going to house it independent of the university and make it really a user-driven web portal.
The upshot on the Fab Labs is that they help students develop the skills they need so they can use computers and 3D printers and sophisticated equipment so that when they graduate, they'll be able to really help with workforce demands. We're talking about the Fab Labs that are around the state with Randy Hulke with us. He is executive director of the Discovery Center at UW Stout. You can join in with your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. Do you think Fab Labs are needed by school districts? Let's discuss. We'll be back after this news. We're talking about the Fabrication Lab grant program on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The governor proclaimed last Tuesday Fab Lab Day. A total of about 21 grants were distributed by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Nine school districts received Fab Lab funding for the first time, and a dozen school districts received funding for a second year after they were also awarded funding last year. We're talking about the coordination of all of this through UW Stout. Randy Hulke stays with us. He's executive director of the Discovery Center. You can call in with your questions and your stories of learning fabrication skills in high school. 800-642-1234. Perhaps you're a teacher at a school that was awarded a Fab Lab grant. Why did your school apply? Where are you putting those resources? And do you think your school needed a Fab Lab to begin with? 800-642-1234. Before you can email ideas at WPR.org. Chuck called in to say the success of a Fab Lab is dependent on the teachers involved. A good teacher makes all the difference, and there are specific skills needed. Chuck says rural schools can't always attract quality teachers, so often the Fab Labs sit idle once the experienced teacher retires. Any insights there, Randy?
Yeah, I think... Boy, that's a really strong statement, and I think it's probably accurate to a degree. I think the real challenge that districts have, is particularly rural districts, is to build sort of a network even within your own school and to kind of build it beyond one individual that's going to have that kind of an impact, largely because of that. I mean, if they retire, if they leave, or something like that, is it really a sustainable enterprise? And I think WEDC in the application process was really looking at a sustainability model and looking at the types of individuals that a district was going to deploy in the Fab Lab project so that they would avoid that type of negative impact. So I think part of it is taken care of just by sort of a strategic plan around that. But I will say that Fab Labs have a great opportunity to engage multiple disciplines in sort of pulling students from across a school into the lab. We've seen that, for example, I think a caller earlier in the last half hour was talking about the impact of industrial design and design. And one of the things that we've concentrated on in the retreats that we're going to be having again this year, we've had two separate, we've done it for the past 2 years, and now we're doing it this year, and we're expanding it to two across the state, one here at UW-Stout and one in Appleton at Fox Valley Tech at their Fab Lab. But what we're really looking at is what's at the root of curriculum in these labs is design thinking or engineering design thinking, and there's our really a lot of consistencies between design thinking, which is employed in art disciplines, and engineering design, which is employed in traditional STEM fields. So it really is sort of a way to have a common language that really allows creative problem solving for students that are in this space. So it is a way to bridge the gap between some of the more technical disciplines within a school or traditional tech ed programs and those that might be coming out of either the applied sciences or out of the art disciplines.
Yeah, there's so this push-pull.
The
push-pull between STEAM and STEM. I think Therese was also saying, look, these Fab Labs are being built almost separately from the school in the sense that they are being repackaged, perhaps creating their own silo. There has been this training before in the school, and now there, it's like new staffs, new curriculum, repackaging this whole process. Is there anything to that?
I haven't seen it in that way. I think, obviously, education kind of goes through different phases, and I think some of the traditional tech ed programs kind of lapsed over a period of time in some of the districts across the state, but I don't see this as being, the grants are certainly helpful, but I think they're not of the magnitude that allows for a full build-out. They're more to, augment the school's ability to kind of enter more of a digital design and fabrication world, where really at the basis of it is, what problem is it that you're trying to solve? What kind of solutions can you come up with? How do you build a team around solving those? How do you go through the testing phase of your ideas? How do you create prototypes? And then how do you improve upon them? Which is a cycle that kind of is consistent across engineering design and design thinking in general. So I don't see it as being something that's necessarily a huge new investment. I think it's a revitalization of some of the disciplines that are already out there, at least in the districts that we've seen that have really optimized them.
Let's bring in Tim now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I'd like to see some of these fab labs maybe have hours during the summer, or maybe some outreach towards former students, that sort of thing, to build it as more of a community kind of opportunity versus just for current students.
Tim, thanks. Randy, summer hours and alums.
Yeah, I think some of the districts have really done a good job of that. I know that in some of the districts around the state, they're working with their Parks and Rec to do some summer programming. Some run camps. There are others that will do community nights or community events throughout the summer, or even throughout the school year on weekends. So that is absolutely a goal of the Fab Lab program at WEDC. So we're certainly supportive of that. Our main focus, the focus of the WEDC grant program, has really been on equipment, and our main focus with the technical assistance and applied research that we're trying to add to this is really in the form of support for the teachers and the instructors that are engaged with how do you actually use these pieces of equipment to deliver relevant curriculum.
I was struck by how tangible, real-life issues that you grapple with, an example being that what's the best way for a flight attendant to open cans of soda on an airplane?
Right. Yeah, and in really those simple sort of challenges, there's so much, wealth of learning opportunities. When you think about just looking at maybe a product redesign of something that's a fairly simple lever. What are the physics lessons that can be had there? What are the math equations that need to be done? And that's really been the focus of the week-long WeFab retreats that we've had here at Stout in the past, and we're excited, to extend that across the state through partnerships with folks like Fox Valley Tech and the individuals there that are really helping us to deliver some of these, really, I think, very relevant, learning opportunities to teachers across the state.
So when you hold these Fab Lab retreats, what do you hear from teachers? What are they grappling with? What are the challenges that they're trying to work through in bringing these Fab Labs online?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. There are a number of challenges, as you can imagine, and probably as many challenges as there are school districts that are awarded the funding. In many cases, it really comes down to the immediate need, obviously, is in the area of how do you turn the piece of equipment on and how do you maintain it, how do you make sure that you're using it properly and that sort of thing. And we've kind of, there are partnerships that we've utilized to deliver that type of technical assistance. In many cases, it's a technical college in that local region that can deliver that type of training. But we can also deploy individuals from our own lab to go out and work with teachers in those areas. Our retreats don't really focus as much on how do you use a piece of equipment. It's more on once you have this piece of equipment, here's how it can be used to deliver that outcome. So there might be some, the assumption is that people are familiar with a laser engraver, for example. But if they're not, we can upskill them quickly so that they're able to do the exercises that are part of the retreat. But we really think that some of that equipment training is the responsibility either of the vendor, or it's the responsibility of of someone in our network that we can send out and work with. And so initially when we started supporting the Fab Lab grant program a couple of years ago, it was pretty much just us. And now we've got, you know, I would say we've kind of taken almost a minor role in delivering this technical assistance because we've brought on people like Fox Valley Tech and some of the school districts to actually have teachers that are involved, not just with our retreats during the summer, but also with some of that sort of delivery of technical assistance at the local level.
Randy Helke, how does this all dovetail with technical colleges? What is their role right now? Where do you see the technical college piece going in the future?
I think, you know, I really can't speak to the direct engagement of the technical colleges in this other than to say that I think there are some articulation agreements that could be made and maybe some shared credits between the schools and the technical colleges that can actually, you know, sort of accelerate the move from a high school student into a career, and I think that's probably a great opportunity. I think there's the broader potential, I think, for Fab Labs in the state is really to have individuals that have strong creative problem-solving skills that are able to work independently, that have the confidence and the empowerment to actually take a challenge and advance it into a solution. And I think that has been the experience that we've seen where there's been success. It's been when you've had students that have said, hey, I can do this, and they've really been able to achieve sort of really remarkable outcomes.
Well, Randy, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Randy Helke is Executive Director of the Discovery Center at UW-Stout. We started the State Capitol Report with Tricia Brown, Deputy Secretary and Chief Operating Officer of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We've been talking about the $500,000 in grant money in Fab Lab grants that were awarded last week to a number of school districts around the state. This edition of the State Capitol Report was produced by Brianne Chasso, Colleen Leahy, and the Ideas Network Director Cheryl Gasser. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network.